Okay, let's see. It's April 12th, I believe, 2010, and it's Jude Carson talking with Bill McKnight. And Bill, we're going to start in Fairvale.
Now, I made a drawing for you. That road down there is called the Shipyard Road, but it was called the Carter Road because the family at the top of the hill that owned all the shoreline were the Carters. And they had five cabins down along, or cottages, I should say, rather than cabins, along the shoreline.
This is great.
And they had we were there in 1938 and 39.
When you say we, who do you mean?
Well, my there's my what did I do with there's a picture of the cabin that we had.
Wow.
And that's my dad
Right.
and my mother
Right.
and my sister
And you?
and me,
Oh,
yeah.
that's
Yeah,
lovely.
we were there in 38, 39.
Okay.
And of course, the means of transportation in those days was a bicycle, and we used to go down to Gondola Point a lot.
Now, but how, where did you live when you would come to summer out there?
Oh, in St. John.
Okay. And how would you get out to the cottages?
Well, Father had a car,
Ah,
and
okay.
he would drive us out when we took the cottage, and we stayed there.
Okay.
And he was in town working, and he would just come out in the evening after work.
Right. And sorry, what year would this have been, Bill?
It would be 38, 39.
Okay, great. And your sister's name?
Betty.
Of course. Bette.
Yeah.
And your parents are, third names are?
Graeme and Greta.
Ah, Ham. Okay, and Greta. Okay, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, no trouble.
So you would come stay.
We would be there, I can't tell you what, but I imagine it would be for 2 months.
Wow, lucky you.
And we the three there was ours where is that? There's the one we used to rent there.
Oh, lovely.
And and the Lawson boys that own Lawson Motors, Mike and so they live there. They
Okay.
were out here then too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for, you don't know, you wouldn't have any idea, any idea how much it would cost to rent the cabin.
No, I
Yeah,
wouldn't.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. But you'd have a great time, wouldn't you?
Yeah. These were permanent ones. Joe Cosman
Right.
used to live there, and the
Okay.
Browns live there, and
Okay.
the Shields live there.
Okay.
And that pathway is now called Francis Avenue. It was just a walking trail in those days.
Okay. Yeah. Isn't that something? Look at it. Yeah. The Jewish community, I see that. Was that actually a Jewish
Oh
community?
yeah, they had there was at least two buildings there, and they I think there were, if I can recall, they were about two story, and they had a veranda around them, and I don't know how many families, but they're right behind Gil Roberts' store,
Right.
and the Roberts farm was across the they all the Roberts boys, there was a half a dozen of them. One of them had a trucking service out here one time too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, across the road from Gil. And Harry Arnold
Right.
joined the Air Force during the war,
Right.
and I knew Harry in St. John before that, and when he came back from the war, he opened the garage next to Gil's store. And Harry married a girl, I'm not sure her name now, but I think her dad had a farm over on Mather's Island,
Oh, okay.
and he used to bring a wagon load of hay across and bring it up the shipyard or the Carter Road.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, do you know when the name changed to shipyard? Was that more recent years?
Oh, yes. I have no idea when.
Gary,
is it Gary?
Corscadden?
Yeah. I'm sure Gary could probably tell you.
He would probably know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And right opposite it, there was it was just a field. It was the Roberts Farm,
right.
And on right opposite the shipyard road, there was a building, and the fella in there, he had some kind of a furniture business or an antique business.
Okay.
But I think Gary could probably fill you in on that.
Oh, for heaven's sakes!
Yeah.
So, what was it like being out here?
Oh, it was great, because we had the whole beach to ourselves. And there would only be sort of five families there.
Oh,
and
my goodness, yeah.
Yeah.
How nice.
And the Carter family, they lived in Montreal. Mm-hmm. The older generation lived there year-round.
Right.
But the kids would come down from Montreal each year,
right,
and spend the summers with their grandparents.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
How nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you did that for quite a few years then.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I can remember... I think it was Sunday morning at noon, September the 3rd, I think it was, that Canada declared war. And, of course, Father had been in the military in the First World War.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he was concerned about his son. I was only, 10 or 11. In those days, I'm sure he wondered what was going to happen to his family if the war continued the way it was.
Yeah, exactly. So how did you end up here on the Green Road? You were a St. Johner.
Yes, we lived in the South End, we had bought a little house over in Fundy Heights, and we were living there. And it was a five-room bungalow, and our family was growing, and we decided we needed a bigger place, and our house was worth around $10,000, and we thought we were going to have to move up into about a $14,000 home.
Wow.
to accommodate our new family expected. But as we looked around, there were no $14,000 homes. There were all $17,000,
really?
Which was more than we thought we could afford. And
what year are we talking?
We're talking 58 or
okay.
59.
Right.
And so I looked in the paper for more homes, and there were some out here. And there was one up the Green Road. And we drove up the Green Road. And the Green Road really ended at down the road here a bit, and I came up and looked at the house, but it was Ray Green's house. You couldn't even see this place.
Okay.
Ray Green's place down the road. So I said, no, that's not for us. So I turned back down the road, and Frank Daniels was living in the, Peter Emerson lives there now, but Frank Daniels was then, that's Peter Daniels' dad.
Okay.
And I knew him pretty well, and he waved to me as I was going by. He said, what are you doing out here? He says, I came out to see the Beauvert house. And he said, well, you weren't at the Beauvert house. He says, that's not me, you have to go up the lane in the woods.
Okay.
So I came back up, and I met Mr. Beauvert.
Okay, so the Beauverts, the Masons.
Five of them, they're brothers.
Yeah.
Five, they're all Masons.
Right.
And Eugene is the son of Ron. He lived here when he was a boy.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it's important to know that Ron was a Mason, because Our house in St. John in Fontaine was a brick bungalow. So we talked a bit here, and he asked me where I lived, and I told him Fontaine Heights, and he was interested. And his wife's mother was with them here, and the stairs were too steep. They're looking for a little place in town.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted a big place in the country. So as we talked, our interest grew.
No.
So we didn't buy or sell, we traded.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. And Gordon Willett was a lawyer in St. John.
Okay.
And I knew Gordon. And he lived on Leicester Street where we lived as a boy. And he handled the whole transaction of trading homes.
Mm-hmm.
And it cost $60. So Ron had to pay $30, and we paid $30.
And how much property did you get?
Well, it's
just an approximation in acres or whatever.
Oh, it's almost 2 acres.
Okay. Oh, my dear.
Yeah.
And you say, just to clarify, that Ron Beauvert, he was one of the five brothers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, when he retired, they had a... Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Gardener's coming.
Oh.
They have a camp up at Crawford Lake.
Okay.
Up in Sussex. So that's where they spent a lot of time. And
so when did you come here?
58 or 59.
When you were trying to sell your place.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We,
$60.
After Ron was retired for a couple of years, the federal government got after him and hired him to go to Cape Breton.
He's the one.
And he taught the Cape Bretons how to restore Lewisburg.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
Now, you've been up Spyglass Hill, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's our house here. And of course, you can look almost to Grand Bay, right across. You can see Grand Bay Westville at the end of the river. And at the other way, you can see almost to Clifton Royal, which was across from Gondola Point.
Who did this?
I did.
You did it.
Well,
and you took. Sure, but it's
yeah.
Wonderful.
And here's the same thing during the winter time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Here. Oh, this, I wonder if Brian could photograph this, like scan.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised because...
He can, because he's got all the fancy equipment. Oh, Bill, this is wonderful. Oh, my gosh.
Brian, I gave Brian...
Oh, of
I,
course you know Brian.
I told Brian that I had movies of the golf course burning down.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So I got it out for him.
Right.
And he... And of course I show it to Larry Greer.
Right.
And Larry wanted it too. But Brian sent it to Halifax and had it reproduced, so he made copies of it.
Right.
And I gave Larry Greer a copy of
nice.
It, which he was always pleased because he
yeah.
shows all those young firemen. He says, that's a real fire.
Exactly.
Because the golf course was really just a summer cottage. There was no insulation in it. It was just, you could see the studs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Brian hasn't seen this, has he?
I'm not sure. I don't
okay.
know.
Okay. That, because that would be wonderful. Oh my gosh, look at that. And your farm's right in the center of it.
Yeah.
But what
yeah.
a picture.
Yeah. Now, all that farm, that whole farm on that hill.
Right.
Now, I think we can get away from Fairvale.
Okay.
Let's move this way a bit.
Yep.
Now, I told you how we bought this house.
Yes.
We didn't buy it. We exchanged
right,
homes.
Right.
And he was looking for a place, a small place in town.
Right.
It suited him. But when it mentioned the brick, wow, I could see the ears go up.
Yeah.
Because he had a brick house and being a mason.
Right.
It appealed to him.
Yes. Yeah.
So we exchanged homes.
Uh-huh.
And I used to borrow my dad's car, and I would empty drawers out and bring stuff out here. And he said, well, since you're going back, you may as well take my tools back. So I was taking stuff back. And when the day came to move, we passed one another on the truck. And
and
we only had bare furniture. There's no such thing as a cushion or a drawer. Everything had been taken out and brought out in the car. Now, when we were here, that driveway was a long driveway. And in a snowstorm, it would take me 4 days to shovel from the end of the driveway up to the house. Because you couldn't even see the house.
Really?
And it was all, the woods were so thick there, the trees were like this. You couldn't walk into the woods. You would have to back in.
Really?
There was one path went down past the dairy. And the kids used to sometimes take a shortcut to go to school by going down through the farm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, the backfield. The whole thing was sold in 1933 for $500. I don't know if Cal Mackay was here or not.
Okay.
But the original property over there,
right,
down as far as Allison Drive,
right,
and up as far as here, was owned by Mr. Allison of Manchester, Robertson Allison.
Right, yeah.
And he had two sons.
What was his name? John? Was
I don't
John?
Know.
Okay.
I know that either one of his sons or grandsons, Joe, lived there, and Mrs. Allison lived down there as well.
Okay.
But by that time, they had sold this half of the farm, of the original property, to Cal Mackay. Now, when I came home at night, the cows would greet me in the back field, and they had the horns, they were all jerseys, and the horns of the cows had a chain around their horns,
right,
hanging down between their eyes, and there was a brass lock, padlock,
right,
with CM engraved on the lock, CM for Cal Mackay.
Good heavens.
Now, there's a block of woods here, about 100 yards square, that's got a spring. It runs all winter long up in this end.
You had mentioned that.
And somebody had dug a trench from one to three different springs. And John Baxter, there were three lots of land between here and down the road.
Okay.
And none of them were any good because they were long and narrow.
And is this on your side of the road?
Yes.
Okay.
So John got the three lots. One came, I think, through his dad, who he was a judge and had a lawyer, and for services rendered, he got one of the lots. But John bought another at an auction sale or something. He got all three lots together.
Yeah.
But he didn't know where to build.
Okay.
Because these trees were so thick.
Right.
And he had, what's her name over on the Renshaw Road? She's used to be the librarian at the...
Oh, Eileen Travis.
Eileen. Her husband,
John,
he drove up on our property one day in the Carmen Gia and took out his survey tools and surveyed the land for John. He couldn't get in some places because you couldn't throw a stone in
and
the woods.
And what sort of trees were they? Just
spruce trees.
Okay.
They were 60, 70 feet tall.
Okay.
And they were, John had a crew come in here during the winter time and lumbered them.
Okay.
Hauled the logs out to a logging truck and drove away. Come spring, John could come up, he could see the property now,
right,
and said, well, I'll build back there. But it was the only place he could build. Sally's still with us, you know.
Oh, is she?
Oh, you know Sally?
No.
Oh.
No.
You knew John?
No.
Oh, you didn't know John?
No, I knew who he was. See, I'm not a local.
Oh, where are you from?
Halifax.
Oh, you're a Haligonian.
Yeah, I've only been here for 30 years.
Oh, you're a newcomer.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, well, John was our Minister of Finance for quite a number of years, and his wife, Sally, they have four kids, and they live down at the end of the Renshaw, across the road on the Hampton Road, across to Frank McPhee's wife was the postmistress,
right. Yep.
And John lived next to them.
Yeah, actually, Bill, you should be reading. I will get you to read the chapter on commerce. There's one chapter on the businesses.
Yeah.
Because you could clarify for sure that we're getting it right about this area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
not to interrupt you, but what did it look like? We should have that coffee cause before it gets cold. What did it look like when you moved here? The area around?
Well, the green road ended here because there are three houses. This old farmhouse.
Right.
There's another old farmhouse across the way.
Right.
And then there's this little place right at the end of the driveway.
Right.
These three properties were owned by three people who worked for Mr. Allison.
One was a
stagecoach driver, but the next thing to it. And they these three properties, and then Beauvais, or at least the people who own this place, gave a piece of the corner of the lot to the town so they could extend the green road.
Okay.
But there were three driveways at the end of the drive.
Right.
One came to ours.
Right.
One went into Art Miller bought the one just across the way.
Right.
And the one down below Art Miller's place was Harry Green's house.
Okay. Yes.
And Art just bought that before he died.
Yes. Okay.
So,
yeah. Did you know or do you know Ralph Fudge?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The lane that goes in past Ralph's place is called
Carol.
Carol.
Right.
And that's his daughter's name.
Well, they live on my street.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they do.
Oh.
And he told me some stories about the Greens.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He would know. Well, Ralph used to be the port of St. John.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you. I was just trying to get a feel for what it looked like here.
There are very few houses here then.
Yeah.
They're all new. As a matter of fact, from Rentforth out, very few people lived out here. Dave Hoyt's place down there. Dave was an electrician.
Right.
And that's an old home. But most of the homes were summer homes.
Exactly.
They would have a well here and a septic tank here.
Right.
Well, that was fine when they only were out here for 2 months.
Exactly.
But when people start to winterize and live out here year-round, they realize that they didn't have a very good water sewage
exactly.
system.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But all the way from Fairvale down Gondola Point, people lived along the river,
yes.
But the upper side was cleared land with fields and barns.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now you have Sherwood Park, and those are all
subdivisions.
All subdivisions, all the way down.
Yeah.
And so, once I get started, I can't stop.
No, just think what you were trying to say. Because I did interrupt you.
Oh, that's okay. I don't mind that at all. The Allison estate and when John Baxter built, and
okay. Well, then tell me, just to sidetrack since we started. Tell me a bit about the Greens, Harry and his brother.
Harry and Andy.
Andy.
Well,
how could I forget Andy?
It was fun to go to a town meeting, because it would be held up in the school or up in the auditorium of the school.
Right.
And they would talk about, we need a street light down here, and we'd all vote whether there should be a street light somewhere. That was the town council in those days.
Right.
And what's his name? Appleby bought his house. He was a Dutchman. He had a corner house there. And I remember one meeting, right opposite the golf course, there was a store. Right where that memorial is.
Right.
The thing. And it was burned down, except at the end, there was a chimney was still left. And we discussed whether that chimney should be torn down or like, Dick Henkelman was his name.
Okay.
He was a Dutchman.
Okay.
And Dick didn't want it torn down because when he drove home at night and he saw the chimney, he knew he was almost home. Yeah.
So, Andy was the electrician?
Yeah.
And Harry was the plumber?
The plumber, yeah.
Yes, okay.
And Harry, where he lived, he had a little wooden shack alongside of it where he kept all his plumbing tools. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there was no copper pipe in those days. It was all steel pipe.
Right.
And I don't think in Andy's day there was much more than just plain fuses that you screw into a wall.
Yeah.
But they were the only two out here.
Mm-hmm.
And this property, there was a well just outside. It was a dug well.
Okay.
When we came here, it was a dug well. And we thought, well, by golly, I think we're going to need a bored well, so we had a bored well put in.
Now, what do you mean by a bored well?
Well, that's a hole drilled in the ground.
Right.
And you have either a pump put at the end of the thing or a pump in the house with a line going down to a...
So when you say a dug well, that's just sort of something that's...
10 feet deep.
Okay, and it relies on
with
the
concrete,
spring.
With stone blocks.
Okay.
Or now... This house, in those days when they were built, they simply dug down the bedrock.
Okay.
They didn't pour a foundation.
No.
They start to build stone foundation.
Okay. Right.
And this house still has it.
Wow.
And Ron Bovaird, mm-hmm. He would rib every stone so you can see it outside.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where did the Greens live in relation to you? Like, where would their property have been?
Well
down, Harry was down by almost next to Carol.
Yeah. Andy lived through on the road that goes up what's the name of that little road next to ours, between the Renshaw.
Oh, okay. I know the one you mean.
Yeah.
Not Scoville.
Scoville, yeah.
Scoville, okay.
Right at the end of that.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, you could almost walk through the back of Gary's of Andy's Harry's place,
mm-hmm.
and you'd be right into to Andy's.
Okay. Yeah.
And the they served this area for, and Hoyt was an electrician, but I would say Andy and Dave Hoyt were the only two people that you could get
any
electric.
We have an interview with Andy, but I haven't heard it, but we do have it, so
that's good.
We have to get it,
yeah. Now, this Allison farm, Allison property,
mm-hmm.
I was told the original went right from this was the main road, the Moncton.
Yes, yeah.
And it went right from that road a mile plus a half, plus a half, plus a half. Well, you keep adding in halves, you get from 1.5 to 1.75 to 1.875, 1.875. You get that far from 2 miles. So it went right out for 2 miles.
His property.
The Allison property.
Along the road?
No, across, right up over the hill.
Oh, okay, right. The other direction.
And across the four-laner,
right
out to the Dolan Road.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of
now,
property.
Now, when they put the four-laner through,
mm-hmm.
they had to get an easement from the people who own the property to allow them to put the four-laner.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
And Joe Allison used to have a hobby shop. He didn't work at MRAs in his later years. Mm-hmm. He had his own little hobby shop up on Prince Edward Street, across from the Golden Ball Garage. John built here 2 years after we were here. Mm-hmm. So John was a neighbor of ours we've been here for 50 years. So John was a neighbor of ours for about 47 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he served quite a few years too.
He was our MP for St. John Kings County for many years. And I'm trying to think of the dairy. They were all Jersey milk.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all bottles, and the glass bottles, and the cream line, you'd buy a quart of milk and it'd be down that far mm-hmm. in the bottle. You'd take the top off, it wouldn't pour, you had to spoon it out.
You imagine.
And his brother had the high-low farm up near Hampton.
And what was his brother's name, do you know?
I don't know. Okay. But the high-low farm looks right over the Pickwocket, right just before you get to the Hampton turnoff.
Okay.
That big farm on the right-hand side.
All right.
And on the riverside, on both sides.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, down across the railway tracks is where the old riverboat Majestic burned.
Oh,
and
my.
The other, the Purdy was brought, and there used to be a pond down by Gondola Point.
Right.
And they dug out the beach and hauled the Purdy mm-hmm. in, and it was in that pond for a few years.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the brother having a farm. Was there any, did they supply together?
Well, he had all Jersey cows.
Yes.
And his milk would all come into the Kinghurst Dairy.
Okay.
Now, the Kinghurst Dairy was very important because all the young fellows going to school, in high school, when they were looking for a summer job, there was only two places to work. There was the Irving Carpenter Service Station or the Kinghurst Dairy.
And
they all worked on the dairy trucks. And Norm Mackay and all those fellows, he is a policeman out here.
Right.
And they're all, every policeman and fireman from the area,
yes.
They all worked in one of those two places.
So the actual dairy, the trucks and the whole operation was on that property?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, when the Olin family bought it, they bought three assets, the home, the dairy, and the land.
Okay.
The home was sold to UNB.
Right.
And it's now owned by
Curry.
Curry, Dick
yes.
Curry.
Yes.
Yeah. And the dairy was up behind it.
Right.
The three springs were tied together
mm-hmm.
just at the back of John's house over here,
mm-hmm.
there's a little building only so high with a roof over it. The water all came in there,
mm-hmm.
and it fed the dairy gravity feed, so it didn't have to have a pump.
Nice.
The cows could all be fed water from the spring all winter long.
So those houses as well, those were for the workers?
Yeah, they're all gone now.
Well, but there are some houses still there.
Oh, are there?
Are there?
Up behind the...
Well, sort of on either side. I think so. Yeah. Off the main place. I'll have to look when
behind.
I go there. Yeah, a bit. Sort of up behind the house.
Not beside the house.
No, but sort of just up behind.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I thought they were all gone. No. See, the house beside the... behind the home the Curry has, Bob Clark... built that house.
Okay.
And he used to be Acme Construction, and he married Campbell Mackay's daughter.
Oh, okay.
And that's why he had the entrance to the thing was a horseshoe.
Right.
It was a...
Yeah, they all were, yeah.
Up and down.
Yeah.
There was no Jersey Lane in those days.
Yeah.
The Jersey Lane was just a path back through the woods.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So do you know when that house was built, the big castle?
Oh, no, that was born...
a long time
that was
before
my
yeah,
time.
Good, okay.
The thing I can tell you, across the low wood...
Yes.
Before it was built, there was a field, and there was a... There were trees at both ends,
mm-hmm.
and then sitting in the middle of the field was an old streetcar from St. John. I don't know where it ever came from or whatever happened to it.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that was the site of quite a nice house in years past.
Oh, it was just a field.
Yeah.
You could see the railway tracks.
Really?
Because the trees were all cut down behind it,
right.
And you could look over the field and you could see the railway tracks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the road going down to it, you had to go down and along the tracks, and that's where Harry and Andy Green's parents owned the mill.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We, like that book, Nancy Glennie's book, had
yeah.
pictures she got from Andy Green of the sawmill. We don't know where those pictures are now,
yeah,
and
yeah.
so we can't
yeah.
get them.
Well, this picture of our house, Harry said, just a minute, and went into the kitchen and pulled this thing about this big with a cardboard shield around it,
mm-hmm.
and in the middle was the picture about this big of the old farmhouse.
Oh, for heaven's
and
sake.
I took it and had it blue, but he gave it to me.
Ah, that's
and,
nice.
You know, if it hadn't been for that, it would have been thrown out when the house was redone down here.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
his boys, both boys, and Ray Green lived further down the road on the
mm-hmm.
right hand side.
Mm-hmm.
Harry's two boys and the other Green boy, this field was all next door to me here.
Mm-hmm.
I could have bought both lots for $2,000 when we came here.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to keep it mowed because I had a baseball field, and I used to make sandbags and put some white lines so they could play baseball.
For the
and,
kids. Yeah, that's nice.
And to get to the field, you had to go over a brook.
Mm-hmm.
And my ditch that goes down the side of the driveway, that was a brook.
Oh, okay.
Because the whole back field, all that land drained through that brook.
Sure, yeah.
And went down. And then when Bert Cosman, Bert married Shirley Ellis, and they're only... Mrs. Ellis lived just beyond Bert, and Ward Haynes, and there are about five or six houses beyond Bert's.
Mm-hmm.
That was all woods.
Mm-hmm.
And when they put in the storm sewers, they thought they'd drain all that land and the brook would disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it did, except when we have... there have been three times this year when you could hear the brook running down my ditch.
Really? Isn't that
something? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, who did you... Oh, did you... Well, did you know any of the Renshaws? Like Jim Renshaw? I know
him. I knew Herbie.
Oh, okay.
Herbie. Now, when you come up the Renshaw Road, you went up just so far, and then there were three or four houses right at the end.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing down the road... Gordon Fairweather built a house, and down Fred Toole lived on the St. John side of the Renshaw Road. I think there are only three houses
mm-hmm.
on the right hand side coming up.
Mm-hmm.
They're all alder trees.
Mm. Yeah.
And Herbie worked at the CNR, and he had four or five kids, and you couldn't see his house. You went up and you had to go over and down and go out towards the golf course. And Herbie was going to, he plowed the back of our place. We wanted to put a garden in. And he had a garden tractor with a plow. And he worked for the CNR. And he was going to sell one lot a year.
Oh, Oh, okay. Yeah.
But somebody talked them into selling the whole works.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
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 Because they owned quite a bit. I mean, they were the original land grant.
Oh, they,
yeah?
Right, all, when you go up the Renshaw Road and beyond, what's her name's house, the Logie, not Logie Armstrong, the librarian, what's her name again?
Oh, Eileen.
Eileen.
Yes.
Yeah. You go beyond her house, and then Dick Henkelman lived on the corner, and Appleby had owned the photographic place in town. He owned the corner lot there.
Okay.
He bought it from Dick Henkelman, and there was nothing up beyond there at all.
Mm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You could go right back to back to the golf course in those days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anything else you can think of that you want to tell me?
Let me see now. I've covered the dairy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. The dairy, when the house was sold, the Olin family sold it to... When they bought the property, sold the house, they sold the dairy to Capital Co-op in Fredericton, and they used it as a distribution center.
Oh, okay.
So they used it more as a warehouse.
So what years would that be?
Oh, golly, I would have to guess.
Yes, just approximate.
Yeah, I would... God, the kids went to school out there for so long. Oh, it had to be the late 60s.
Okay.
And they kept the land.
Sure.
Because Mr. Olin, who was alive then.
And who are you talking about, Philip?
Philip, yeah.
Okay.
He and his wife were interested in the pony club.
That's right.
So that they kept the land.
Yes.
For the pony club.
Yeah. Yeah.
And about the 1st of June every year, they set in a bushwhacker, and he would clear all the fields for they could use
it. So why did they call it Spyglass Hill?
I don't know.
I mean, I could see because of the incredible.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, there had been a sea captain live in this house at one time.
Uh-huh.
So maybe, be a guess.
Who knows, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But there's a pathway that goes back beyond Spyglass Hills and down. It goes right out to the power line. That's where Jersey Lane goes right back there.
Yeah, okay.
To the top of the hill.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been out there.
Now, one of the problems with John had building here, there's rock outcrop. This whole back field, there's places where the rock is clear.
Right, yeah.
But you go down 6 inches and you're into bedrock.
Yes. Yeah.
So you couldn't, if anybody was going to build up here, they'd have to blast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I hope they don't.
No. Well,
I hope they don't build.
I started about 6 or 7 years ago. And I got Bishop to come up and go up Spyglass Hill, and I'm trying to plant a seed in him to talk to the Olin family and see if they would be like the Irving family and they make this a green space. I said from the top of the hill down, it should be given to the town as a green space, and the town would help the present owners build property on the other side down to the four laner, putting in the roads and sewer lines and all.
Yeah.
And but I still haven't heard that the Olin family have donated it yet.
No, but it would be a good idea. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's
unbelievable.
Well, it's been used for families for years. They ski hill. They cross country ski. They toboggan. They sled, they bike rides. They had
Picnics.
Cubs and Scouts used to camp up on top of the hill.
Yeah.
They would fly kites.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And everybody walked. How many places can you have a dog run? You can let your dog and away he goes.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
a great place for that.
But your photograph is wonderful.
Yeah.
I'll get Brian to scan that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's unbelievable. Yeah.
And
so, anything else?
Yes. I've come from Fairvale. Oh, Rossay Corner, it had two stores. That's all there were. There were Diggles and Hams. Sobeys bought those ham store, and then they built a new store up above. And the other store, there was another store through the underpass in Fairvale, Hamilton's.
Mm-hmm.
Because the old underpass was two right-angle turns.
Yes.
You went underneath. It was a hell for the fire department to stop and go around. But when we were in Fairvale, when I was 11 years old, 10 years old, I would bike up to the golf course, and I would caddy.
Oh, you would be one of the caddies. Yeah.
And we used to get, there were three class, and you had a little colored ribbon to show you what class they were. A third class caddy your first year,
mm-hmm.
you got 25 cents for 18 holes.
Wow.
A second class caddy got 35 cents.
Ooh.
You had to be there for a year before you ever got to be a second class caddy. There were no first class. They were all golfers, all young golfers. Bert Balch and Tiga Wood. Tiga Wood.
Tiga, T-I-G-G-A?
T-E-G-A. His mother's name was T-E-G Armstrong.
Oh, okay.
That's how he got his name. And Diz Davidson, Diz was a neighbor of yours down in K Park.
Okay, spell his first name.
Diz.
Diz.
God, what was his first name? I don't know.
Okay.
But we would get there early in the morning. There'd be no golfers. They didn't play golf before 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Because the dew was still on the grass. Yeah. So we'd go out hunting for balls along the sideways because we knew pretty well where they where they put them. And what else about the golf course? No, I can't remember. After you go, I can probably remember all kinds
good,
of little
Bill,
things about the golf course.
Because just what you said about the golf course, that's added. Like, I know Gretchen's doing that chapter, and that will fit in nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Thompson built that house. He was where he was from. He was from Bermuda, I think.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, he built that house up there. I remember when that was. That was alongside the 18th hole, which top of the hill, the came down to the back of the clubhouse.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, well, that's good.
Yeah.
You've covered a fair bit of information and added, and I know where to find you, and you know where to find me.
You're from Halifax.
Yes.
My grandmother was up on.